The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
For us. My message this morning is entitled Wired for Connection. Wired for Connection. And what do I mean by wired for connection? I simply mean this, that God has actually, when He created each one of us, first of all, He hardwired into us this desire and this natural propensity to pursue relationships. So we already have that hardwired into us. As a matter of fact, when God created man, and then He created all the animals, and He kept saying, "This is good, this is good." Each time He would create something new, He would say, "This is good." And when He created man, He said, "This is not good." Why did He say that? Because He was alone. Yeah, He said it's the only thing that He described in his creative process as being not good or incomplete at that moment. Because He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Because we are made for relationship. And then He created Eve. And then this fight broke out. It was crazy. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is that all of us desire to have relationships with each other. And we naturally connect with people that are like us. And so God did something else. Not only did He create us in that way to naturally connect with each other, but also when we begin a relationship with God, when we trust Jesus to be our Savior, God does something else in us. He puts within us this ability to connect with Him. Okay? And not only does He put this ability within us, but He also creates a way, an avenue for us to do that, and a desire for us to do that. And that's really what this series is about. It's about us discovering that desire, that natural connection that God has placed in us when we enter into God's family, discover what that's all about, and how we can take the most advantage of what God's given us in being able to connect with Him. So does that sound good? I think it's going to be a good series. I think for all of us, if there's one thing that we wish we had in our walk with God, is just a little more of a close relationship with Him. And we struggle with that. We struggle with the things that we know we should be doing that can create a stronger relationship with God, because sometimes it just feels like work. It feels like we're having to really work at it. And it is work, I'll be honest with you. But at the same time, God has intended it to be something that brings us the ultimate pleasure and fulfillment in life. And so it's not just that we're trying hard to do something because we want to earn some sort of credit with God, but instead we're trying to actually pursue what God has made us to be, what God has created us to be, and that's to have that connection with Him. So we're going to jump into this, and I'm going to be reading from a passage that is probably one of those passages that's misquoted a lot in the Bible. Sometimes we hear a verse and we're like, "Oh, that sounds good. That's my life verse." And we don't read verses around it because we just think that one verse sounds great. And so we're like, "Yeah, you know, put that on a plaque and hang it in my house, or put that on the refrigerator somewhere where I can see it. And that's just my life verse, and I claim the promises from it." And then a lot of times we realize that there's actually attachments to that verse. And if we read it in context, we discover that there's a little more to that. And so we're going to run across one of those verses this morning. But let's look at, oh, by the way, if you're using Twitter or even Facebook. Now Facebook does hashtags. It's copycatting Twitter, I guess. So we have our hashtags there so you can tweet what's going on in the service and keep your friends that are not in church informed. Let's give them one more excuse to stay home, right? They're like, "I can read the sermon on my phone." But it's a good way for you to also kind of shoot out little pieces of wisdom that God gives you during the service. So let's read this passage and we'll pray and we'll jump into this. It's Romans 8. We'll be reading verses 26 through 28. It says, in certain ways, we are weak. That's like the understatement of the year, right? A lot of ways we're weak. But the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. All of our thoughts are known to God. He can understand what is in the mind of the Spirit as the Spirit intercedes for God's people. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. They are the ones God has chosen for his purpose. Father, I pray this morning that as we look at this passage that just gives us a glimpse into this connection that you've created for us. I pray that you would help us to understand what it all means to be connected to you in this way. And God, I pray that not only do we have an understanding of that, but we actually can use that in our lives. We can take the information, the truth that you give us from your word, and we can take it into our week so that we leave this place changed because of our encounter with you. So thank you, God, again for caring so much about us and loving us. And I pray that as we discover these things together, that you would just open our eyes, open our hearts. I pray that my words would be your words this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you've read any of these verses before, you probably picked up on the verse that I'm talking about, verse 28, that says, we know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. There's another version that says, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So there's a couple different versions of this verse, and it's the verse that a lot of people claim. And I'm going to explain that, and I'll even tell you an embarrassing story that is attached to that verse as well. But the first thing I want you to notice before anything else is that God himself initiates the connection with us. God initiates the connection. Look at what it says in verse 26. First of all, it establishes the fact that we are weak. Okay? In other words, it's not so much that God's pointing out that we're deficient or that we have faults. He's basically saying in this particular area of communicating with God, of being connected to God, we're pretty helpless. It's kind of a one-sided thing because God kind of has the ball in his court when it comes to us contacting him or encountering him in any way. That's why it says we're weak in this area. It says, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. Now, I find this fascinating because, first of all, we're talking about God's Spirit, okay, which actually is God's presence. So this is very, very basic when it comes to putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. God gives you a couple of things. The first thing that God gives you is his own presence, himself. And there's a lot of different words that God uses to describe his presence in our life. Sometimes he describes his presence as the comforter. Sometimes he describes his presence as the Holy Spirit, or sometimes just God's Spirit. But God has actually given us his presence to lead us and to guide us and to help us live lives that bring God honor and to empower us to do that. And I think that that is probably the best kept secret of Christianity. Why do I say that? Because I believe that we have not even tapped into the power that God's given us in his Spirit. It's almost like if somebody were to give you this incredible gift and the wrapping on it was just beautiful, okay? But inside that gift, I mean, let's just say someone spent upwards of $1,000 on a gift for you. And they wrapped it real nice. It looked beautiful on the outside. But the real gift is on the inside, okay? That's where you really receive the value. And imagine you take that gift and you just kind of set it on your coffee table at your house. And people come to your house and they're like, oh, that's a beautiful gift. I like the way it's wrapped. Nice bow. What's inside of it? And you're like, yeah, I don't know. It's been here for 3 months. I like the way it looks, and so I'm just going to keep it here on the coffee table. That would be ridiculous. And I think that we do that. I think that as followers of Jesus, sometimes we ignore the greatest gift that God's given us, which is his Spirit, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And here is just one instant, one way that the Spirit helps us. And that's in our ability to communicate with God. And so God initiates this communication. God initiates this connection by giving us His Spirit. And I love how it says that when we don't know what to pray for, and some versions say when we don't know how to pray, and I think that the idea is kind of contained in this, that we're not sure how or what to say. At times, God's Spirit is actually communicating for us. And that's pretty incredible. I mean, it doesn't surprise us to know that God knows everything about us. Okay, He understands how we work. He understands our thoughts. And so He already has this incredible understanding of us and this knowledge of us. And so it shouldn't surprise us that God could extract information from us. Okay? But it's an encouragement for us, I think, to know that we have God's Spirit that is right there opening up that channel of communication. It's important for us to understand that. And it's important for us to understand what a big deal this is to God. As a matter of fact, God is so serious about communication with us that He's proactive about it. He's proactive about it. Now, you may have a favorite hobby or a favorite thing to do. Sometimes we say we like to do something, but we don't do it very often, and so we can't really claim it as a hobby. You know what I mean? Like when I went off to college, I used to surf before I went off to college. We would surf a lot because my uncle was a pro surfer, and so every time we would turn, each one of us, there were six of us in the family, each time one of us would turn 12 years old, he would buy us a surfboard, take us out in the ocean and teach us to surf in a day. Or we would drown trying. So we all learned how to surf as kids, and so we would spend time surfing, going out and having a good time. When I went off to college, I used to tell people, oh yeah, surfing was like my hobby, but the truth is, I wasn't doing it very often. And I don't think you could really say something was your hobby or your passion if you were doing it like once a year or twice a year. But we do that, don't we? We're like, oh, well, I really love to do that, and so I'm just going to tell everybody, oh, that's my thing. That's my thing that I do. And it's not necessarily true. But see, God is so serious about communication with us. This is God's thing. This is God's hobby. This is what God's passionate about. He's so passionate about it that He's the one that's initiating the connection. God is the one that's saying, okay, if we're going to establish communication, I'm going first. So He's contacting us, and He's desiring a communication with us. And that's very important for us to understand, because anytime we think that we can connect with God in any way, that's just our own pride speaking, because we need to understand that God is the one that actually initiates that conversation with us. You remember in Genesis, there was a group of people that decided that they wanted to connect with God, and so they decided they were going to build this tower, okay? And so they were going to just build this tower, and they were going to build it so high that it was going to rise up into the heavens, and they would be able to connect with God in that way. And so these people just had this pride, and they were so boastful and so arrogant about it, and God said, you know what? That's not how it works. I initiate communication with you. It doesn't work the other way. And so He confused them. It's called the Tower of Babel. And He caused them to speak different languages so they couldn't communicate and they couldn't continue the construction work. And what happened? They just kind of spread out. People found other people that spoke the same language and they went out and they dwelled together. And that's how there are so many diverse languages on this planet. But any time that we and our own pride feel like we have some way, something to do with this audience that we have with God, I think we have it backwards. Because God is the one that initiates communication with us. Important for us to understand that. Psalms 145, verse 18 says, He is close to all who call on Him sincerely. Sincerely. You know, calling on God sincerely doesn't necessarily mean calling on God when there's something you want. And it seems like that's probably the number one time that we choose to call on God, when there's something that we really want or when we get in trouble. And we're like, oh man, God, I really need you. But we're talking about a sincere communication with God, a genuine and authentic communication with God, which in order for it to be sincere and genuine and authentic, it has to be ongoing. It has to be just a continuous communication with Him. I'm pretty sure if your BFF That stands for best friend forever, for those of you that aren't up on that. I'm pretty sure if that person in your life never got a phone call from you, never got a text message, you never went to dinner with them, you never talked to them, I'm pretty sure they'd be like, what's the deal here? I don't know if we can be BFFs if we don't communicate. And a lot of times we like to claim God as our closest friend, and the truth is that our communication with God really says a lot about how close we are to him. So God initiates this connection. The second thing I want you to see here is that God gives us access. He gives us this full access to him. Romans 8:27, it says, all our thoughts are known to God. He can understand what is in the mind of the Spirit, and as the Spirit intercedes for God's people. This word intercede means to plead or make a request on behalf of someone else. We have a ministry called Intercede, and it's simply where we have a group of people that pray for needs. So if you have a need that you'd like someone to pray for, you can either write a prayer request card and slip it in the box, or you can go online and click on where it says submit prayer request. It's the simplest thing. Put your prayer request in, and instantly that prayer request is emailed out to a team of, I think, like 18 or 20 people, and they pray for you. So we call that intercede. And maybe some of you have heard that or you've seen that before, and you're like, what is that? I didn't even know what intercede means. Well, the truth is, this is what intercede means, to plead or make a request on behalf of someone else. So if someone else takes your prayer request and brings it before God, they're interceding for you. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. But more amazing than that is the fact that God intercedes for us. God takes our most intimate thoughts and desires towards him, and he communicates those to God the Father. His Spirit communicates that. And that is incredible that God plays that amazing, that his Spirit plays that amazing role in our lives. So if we have before God, if we have someone who's constantly interceding for us, why aren't we taking advantage of that? Why aren't we taking advantage of the fact that God has given us this all-access pass to him at all times? I think, once again, we're overlooking or we're downplaying an incredible gift from God, and that is to have this access to him at all times. My son, Josiah, when he wakes up in the morning, if I've already left for work, which usually happens because he usually sleeps in. I don't know, he's like a teenager. He's only 4 years old. But he'll wake up and he'll ask my wife, is Dad still here? He'll just like shout it out from his bed. Is Dad still here? She says it's like one of the first things he says when he wakes up in the morning. Is Dad still here? Because he feels like he missed out on something if he didn't get to like talk to me. And by the way, I tried doing this thing because my wife said, you know, you really should wake your son up before you go to work because the first thing he says is Dad here? And so I said, okay, I'm going to start doing that. So I go in, you know, I shake him, you know, I kind of move the bed a little bit, kind of roll him over, probably open his eyelids, you know, shake his head, kick the bed. You know, I'm like, I can't wake the kid up. I'm like, okay, post-it note, stick it on his forehead. No, I don't do that, but I try that, and I'm like, oh, this kid's not waking up, so he's, but the point is that he knows that he has access to me, and so if he feels lonely and he feels like he needs to talk to Dad, what does he do? He calls me up, and I answer him. He has complete access to me at any time. If I'm in a meeting, I'll have to call him back, but the thing that's infinitely better than a father's access to his own kid is the access that we have to God. Because God is never too busy for us. He's never in a place where he's unavailable. It's not like God leaves for work in the morning. We're like, oh, dang it, I missed my chance to spend time with God. It doesn't happen that way. God is constantly available for us. He has this continuous access. And it's his plan. He created it. He designed it. That's why I say God carefully designed a system which allows us to have unlimited access to him. Do you realize how much thought God had to put into this? Because he recognized that constant communication with him is vital for us. It's like It's like the air that we breathe. It's vital for us spiritually, the same way that eating, drinking, and breathing is vital for us in the physical realm. And God knows that, and so he makes himself available to us at all times. And he's created this system. God came up with this plan for how we can be communicating with him. I think that's incredible, because God could have said, okay, I'm going to create this people and these things, and I'm just going to turn them loose and let them do whatever they want to do. He could have done that. He could have just stepped back and just watched what happened. He could have said, you know what? You guys are doing a terrible job of this, but you're on your own. It's too much work keeping track of you guys. As parents, sometimes we feel that way about our kids. We're like, man, this is too much work. I think I'm going to take a step back. God doesn't do that. God takes a step forward, and he's involved in our lives. He's very much involved in our lives. And he came up with this. He constructed this plan. He created it. And so my desire is that we would take advantage of it. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what does it mean to ask things according to God's will? I used to struggle with this. I think I spent the first 2 years of Bible college struggling intensely with this idea of, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? How do I know if I'm doing what God wants me to do? And so it was like every decision I made came down to me asking myself a question. Would God want me to do that? So I would get in my car to go to lunch. Does God want me to go to Subway or Rally's? I'm serious. I would actually be thinking about decisions like that and being like, how do I know if I'm in God's will? If God wants me to have Rally's for lunch and I choose to go to Wendy's instead, I'm going to get sick, because I'm going to be outside of God's. And somehow in my mind, I had this kind of warped idea of what it meant to be in God's will and to be obedient to God. When simply, this is really the key to this. If any of you are wondering, how can you be in the center of God's... Oh, by the way, I was worried about being in God's will, and then I was listening to a chapel speaker at our college, and he started talking about the center of God's will. So it was like no longer God's will. Now it's like the center of... So it's like God's will is this target, and I got to be on the bullseye of the target. I got to be in the center of God's will. How do you know when you're in the center of God's will? You're being obedient to him. You're giving him your life. You're paying attention to the instructions that he's already written down for you, the instructions that he's already given you. If you're paying attention to what he's already given you, then you're in the center of God's will, because you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. And so when we ask God for things in his will, it means that we're asking out of a heart that's devoted to him and out of a life that's living according to his plan and not our plan. That's what it means to ask according to God's will, and our promise is that God's going to hear us. Now, the truth is that God always listens to us. He always listens to us. But we know that God responds to us based on how we're following his plan for our lives. We know that God's response to us is based on our response to his word, the information that he's already given us. So God initiates the connection with us. God gives us all access to him. And the third thing is, God's process is for our best. So God's process of communication, the way that he communicates with us, is for our best. Now, I'm going to talk about this verse right now, Romans 8:28, what I believe is one of those verses that people just kind of pull out of context and decide that it means something that it doesn't necessarily mean. The verse says, we know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. They are the ones God has chosen for his purpose. I mentioned another version earlier that says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I've heard people say that this verse simply means that God is, every situation that you face, God is working and moving through that situation to produce something good in your life. Now, that may be true. But that's not what this verse says. Okay? You may be able to go to other places in the Bible and come to those conclusions based on whether or not you're following God's word and doing some of the things that he's asked you to do. But according to this verse, God has been talking about communication with us. Okay? When I was in college, I dated a girl for 4 years. I can tell the story because my wife's over in kids' church. This is between me and you guys, okay? She doesn't know I ever dated anybody besides her. Like, sweetie, you're the only girl for me. I'm kidding, she knows. But anyways, don't say anything. So I dated this gal, and I thought I was going to marry her. I mean, we dated for 4 years. That's a long time to date somebody. And I actually, in my mind, had gone through this whole scenario of how I was going to ask her to be my wife. And I, you know, had that all planned out and figured out. And since we had been dating for so long, and we were simply just waiting to graduate from college, and then we were going to get together and be together for the rest of our lives. That was my plan. And I thought that was God's plan for my life as well. Until her dad broke up with me. True story. Her dad calls me up, and I'm like, first of all, how did he get my number? But he's like, hey, I'm in town. Can we meet and have dinner? I'm like, cool. I'm like, you know what? This might be a good opportunity for me. Because I could even, you know, just kind of start suggesting that, you know, that maybe me and your daughter are made for each other. Okay? And start kind of leaning. So I'm looking forward to this dinner. And so we ordered food, and I remember he went to a nice restaurant and obviously ordered something nice, and I was a little conservative because I didn't want him to think, you know, taking advantage of her dad, you know. So I looked at something that's kind of low cost on the menu, you know, being a responsible person. And the first thing he says is, I don't want you to date my daughter anymore. So I said to the waiter, I'll have the lobster. Should have done that. No, but basically that dinner was about him breaking up with me. And then the worst thing about it was that he said, I want you to tell her it's your idea. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. And so I struggled with something because I was in that, remember I was in that struggle of, is this God's will? Is it not this God's will? Well, how could it not be God's will if, you know, her dad comes and tells me? And so, I mean, I struggled with that. And I had a good friend that had comforting words for me. And he came to me and he said, you know what, Jeremiah, it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I punched him in the face. No, but I was like, no. This is not good. I would not define this as a good thing in my life at that moment. Obviously, it was a good thing because I have a beautiful, wonderful wife, and God did have a greater plan for me. But the point is, what I thought was good for me, God said, it's not good for you. And so God's definition of good is different than our definition of good. What we think is our best plan or the best life possible for us may not necessarily line up with the best plan that God has for our lives. Okay? And so that's where this comes in. This idea is that God, because he knows infinitely more about ourselves than we do, God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And so in this communication process with God, in this connection that we have with God, God always knows what is best for us. The process that he's given us to communicate to him is the best possible way for us to communicate with God. And it's not for God's benefit, it's for our benefit. And the way that he's working in our lives, the way that he's developing us into the person that he wants us to be in Christ, that's all done with our best in mind. And sometimes that means going through some tough times, knowing that God's best is for us. God has this incredible, incredible plan for your life. And right at the center of that plan is his desire to be in communication with you. And so let me let you just sit for a while in that thought. In that thought that, first of all, God has given us this connection. He's initiated this connection with us. Secondly, God has given us full access to himself. And because he loves us so much and he knows so much about us, we know that his process is the best for us. It's our best. God has our best interest in mind. So where are you at? Where are you at in your communication with God and your connection with God? And maybe if it helps, I mean, sometimes I have to do this in my own mind. I have to kind of, you know, do this on a scale of 1 to 10 thing just so I can evaluate where I'm at. And so I want to ask you this morning, and since we're launching this new series and we're discovering ways that we can connect with God and that we can draw closer to him, I wonder if it wouldn't be a bad idea for us to maybe evaluate where we're at right now. I mean, do you feel right now that you're in a place where your communication with God is where it should be? I think if we're really honest with us, that first question, we would just say no. I know that God wants more than where I'm at right now. The second question would be, do you desire to have a stronger connection with God? Do you desire to have a deeper conversation with God? To have a better understanding of who he is, to have a more open communication with God? Are you willing to maybe take a risk with God and make yourself vulnerable before him and ask God to really begin to open that communication with you, or at least to make you aware of it? Because the communication's there. And maybe this morning, as you're looking at that graph in your head of where I'm at and when it comes to my communication with God, maybe you're way down at the end where things are pretty quiet between you and God. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why is that? I think there's a couple of reasons. One reason may be that there is some sin, some activity, there's something in your life that you know is dishonoring to God. I'm not saying that you're doing something that you don't know is wrong, because whenever we do something that we know is wrong, we know it, right? I mean, we can't fool ourselves, right? And so maybe there's something that's preventing that communication from happening. Maybe there's something in our life that's more important than God. There's something that we've kind of exalted above him, and that's affecting our communication with him. So that's one reason. Another reason may be, maybe you have never began that relationship with him. Maybe you're in a place where you're kind of outside of God's communication area. I don't know. It's kind of bad to think of that as like a cell service range, but you get those, you know, roaming signals on your phone or out of area, you know, I don't get service here, that kind of thing. How is it possible that we can be outside of God's area of communication? There's really only one way for us to be outside of that, and that's if we've never began that relationship with Jesus. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you've never had that starting point where your relationship with him begins. Because that's where the communication starts. That's where our initial connection with God starts. And from there, God gives us access to him. From there, God gives us his spirit to dwell in us. But it has to start with that. And so maybe, if you're on the quiet end of that spectrum, maybe that's what's going on. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to begin that relationship with Jesus. And God made it so simple, probably because he knows we're not very smart. God made it really simple. It's simply this. If we confess our sins, the things that we've done wrong, and we say to God, God, that was my fault. I did that. I messed up. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. And I ask you for forgiveness. That's the very beginning of this relationship with God, is asking God for forgiveness. And we base the fact that God's qualified to give us forgiveness on the fact that Jesus gave his life for us. We know Jesus died on the cross for us. He took our place. He took our punishment. The sins that we've committed, Jesus took the punishment for it. And so we are simply saying, Jesus, thank you for taking that punishment, and I'm truly sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong. And then you just invite him to come in. Invite him to come into your life. So simple. Admitting that you're wrong and accepting his forgiveness. And when you do that, you're inviting him to come into your life and into your heart. And what happens when you do that, God gives you his presence. The Holy Spirit we've been talking about who intercedes for us, that's a gift from God. We get that instantly. And not only do we get that, but we also get all of eternity with God. So that when we leave this earth, like we're all going to one day, we go directly to be with God and we spend eternity with him. And that's the most beautiful thing about the future that God has for us. But the present time, the beautiful thing about the present time is that we have God's Spirit with us. We have God's presence with us. And we have this constant access to him at all times. And it all starts when we give our hearts to him.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.